Ete chang shakala pungsa. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam. Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. Ete chang shakala pungsa. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam. Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. All these cha and angsha, plenary portions, kala, portions of the plenary portions, pungsa, of the supreme, Krishna, Lord Krishna, to, but, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Swayam, in person, Indra Adi, the enemies of Indra, Vyakulam, disturbed, Lokam, all the planets, Mridayanti, gives protection, Yuke Yuke, in different ages. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this particular stanza, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is distinguished from all other incarnations. He is counted amongst the avatars because out of His causeless mercy, the Lord descends from His transcendental abode. Avatara means one who descends. All the incarnations of the Lord, including the Lord Himself, descend on the different planets of the material world, as also in different species of life, to fulfill particular missions. Sometimes He comes Himself, and sometimes His different plenary portions, or parts of the plenary portions, or His differentiated portions, directly or indirectly empowered by Him, descend on this material world to execute certain specific functions. Originally, the Lord is full of all opulences, all prowess, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. When they are partly manifested through the plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions, it should be noted that certain manifestations of His different powers are required for those particular functions. When the room, small electric bulbs are displayed, it does not mean that the electric powerhouse is limited by the small bulbs. The same powerhouse can supply power to operate large-scale industrial dynamos with greater volts. Similarly, the incarnations of the Lord display limited powers because so much power is needed at that particular time. For example, Lord Parasuram and Lord Narasimha displayed unusual opulence by killing the disobedient Kshatriyas 21 times and killing the greatly powerful atheist Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that even the demigods and other planets would tremble simply by the unfavorable raising of his eyebrows. The demigods in the higher level of material existence many, many times excel the most well-to-do human beings in duration of life, beauty, wealth, paraphernalia, and in all other respects. Still, they were afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Thus, we can simply imagine how powerful Hiranyakashipu was in this material world. But even Hiranyakashipu was cut into small pieces by the nails of Lord Narasimhadev. Narasimha Bhagavan ki! This means that anyone materially powerful cannot stand the strength of the Lord's nails. Similarly, Jamadagnya displayed the Lord's power to kill all the disobedient kings powerfully situated in their respective states. The Lord's empowered incarnation as Narada and plenary incarnation Varaha, as well as indirectly empowered Lord Buddha, created faith in the mass of people. The incarnations of Ram and Dhanvantari displayed his fame, and Balaramji, Mohini, and Vamana exhibited his beauty. Dattatreya, Matsya, Kumar, and Kapila exhibited his transcendental knowledge. Nara and Narayan Rishis exhibited his renunciation. So all the different incarnations of the Lord are indirectly or directly manifested different features. But Lord Krishna, the primeval Lord, exhibited the complete features of Godhead, and thus it is confirmed that he is the source of all other incarnations. And the most extraordinary feature exhibited by Lord Sri Krishna was his internal energetic manifestation of his pastimes with the cowherd girls. His pastimes with the gopis are all displays of transcendental existence, bliss, and knowledge, although these are manifested apparently as sex love. The specific attraction of his pastimes with the gopis should never be misunderstood. The Bhagavatam relates these transcendental pastimes in the 10th canto, and in order to reach the position to understand the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, the Bhagavatam promotes the student gradually in the 9 other cantos. According to Srila Jiva Goswami's statement, in accordance with authoritative sources, Lord Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. It is not that Lord Krishna has any source of incarnation. All the symptoms of the Supreme Truth in full are present in the person of Lord Sri Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord emphatically declares that there is no truth greater than or equal to himself. In this stanza, the word Swayam is particularly mentioned to confirm that Lord Krishna has no other source than himself. Although in other places the incarnations are described as Bhagavan because of their specific functions, nowhere are they declared to be the supreme personality of Godhead. In this stanza, the word Swayam signifies the supremacy as the summum bonum. The summum bonum, Krishna, is one without a second. He himself has expanded himself in various parts, portions, and particles as Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakash, tad ekatma prabhava vaibhava vilas avatara avesh and jivas, all provided with innumerable energies just suitable to the respective persons and personalities. Learned scholars and transcendental subjects have carefully analyzed the summum bonum, Krishna, to have 64 principal attributes. All the expansions or categories of the Lord possess only some percentages of these attributes. But Sri Krishna is the possessor of the attributes 100%. And his personal expansions, such as Swayam Prakash, Tad Ekatma, up to the categories of the avatars, who are all Vishnu Tattva, possess up to 93% of these transcendental attributes. Lord Shiva, who is neither avatar nor avesh, nor in between them, possesses almost 84% of the attributes. But the jivas, or the individual living beings in different statuses of life, possess up to the limit of 78% of the attributes. In the conditioned state of material existence, the living being possesses these attributes in very minute quantity, varying in terms of the pious life of the living being. The most perfect of living beings is Brahma, the supreme administrator of one universe. He possesses 78% of the attributes in full. All other demigods have the same attributes in less quantity, whereas human beings possess the attributes in very minute quantity. The standard of perfection for a human being is to develop the attributes up to 78% in full. The living being can never possess attributes like Shiva, Vishnu, or Lord Sri Krishna. A living being can become godly by developing the 78% transcendental attributes in fullness, but he can never become a god like Shiva, Vishnu, or Krishna. He can become a Brahma in due course. The godly living beings, who are all residents of the planets in the spiritual sky, are eternal associates of God in different spiritual planets called Haridham and Maheshdham. The abode of Lord Krishna above all spiritual planets is called Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan. And the perfected living being, by developing 78% of the above attributes in fullness, can enter the planet of Krishna Loka after leaving the present material body. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Juge Juge. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. In this third chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have been reading of the various wonderful forms or incarnations in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally appears within this material world. And here, Srila Sutta Goswami is explaining that whenever the enemies of Indra, the asuras, create a great disturbance to the devotees or the demigods, the Lord appears within this material world. For those living beings who misuse their minute independence to try to independently exploit the resources of material nature, they create great atrocities within this world. Srila Prabhupada explained there are always two classes of human beings. There are the devotees and there are the demons. There are those who are aspiring for the service of the Lord and those who are aspiring to become the Lord. Everything is the property of Krishna. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. To claim proprietorship over anything is demoniac. To consider oneself the enjoyer of anything is a demoniac propensity. To utilize all of creation according to our capacity in the service of the Lord is the quality of a true devotee. And we find how those who are of this demoniac class in this material world, because they often have such deep greed in their hearts, they are willing to use the energies that God has given them to such an extreme extent to gain powers by which they can fulfill that greed. And it is for this reason that we read throughout the scriptures, and we also read throughout our history, that oftentimes such demons become great kings and great powerful conquerors over all the world, and sometimes the entire universe. Because a simple person who is not very God conscious, he's content, not content, but he only has a little bit of initiative to lord it over a little bit. But those who have tremendous greed, tremendous lust, tremendous envy of God, they have to perform massive austerities and sacrifices in order to get tremendous amount of strength to fulfill their desires, which are insatiable. We have read about Hiranyakashipu. For 100 celestial years, he stood on the tips of his toes with his arms outreach, not eating, not sleeping, hardly even breathing. And was willing to tolerate his whole body being eaten by ants until there was nothing left but his bones. He could have at any time just thought, this is too much. But he was impelled with so much greed and lust. He had such burning desire to conquer the universe that he was willing to tolerate anything to obtain that position. Such pride and arrogance was insatiable. And the Lord, he allows such devotees to often temporarily fulfill their desires, but only temporarily. Hiranyakashipu conquered the entire universe seeking satisfaction, but because he could not control his mind and senses, he was thoroughly agitated and disturbed, even being the king of the universe, even sitting on the throne of Indra. And ultimately, in order to control others, he had to cause them so much pain and fear. But ultimately, as we have read, Prahlad, that saintly child, because of the inconveniences he was enduring, the Supreme Lord appeared as Narasimhadev to tear him to pieces with his nails. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't object to see his father ripped to pieces. Most people would think this is something very undesirable, very bad. After all, if someone came and right in front of your eyes started to tear your father to pieces with nails, would you object? Would you be pleased to see it? If you are, the whole world will classify you as being a demon, a rascal. Then how is it that Prahlad, he did not object, but he was glorifying the Lord for ripping his father to pieces, taking his intestines, wearing them as garland, and decorating the entire palace floor with his blood. And yet Prahlad was very happy. What kind of son is this? Because it was Krishna. Because it was Krishna killing him. Therefore Prahlad understood that my father will be liberated. If it was anyone else, certainly he would object or try to defend him. Because Krishna is the supreme source of everything that exists. Krishna is the only one who has the power to give life. And when Krishna kills, he gives eternal life. Srila Prabhupada explains that even in the modern age, demons take political power and they cause great distress through taxation of the ordinary beings. In 1942, during the Second World War, the British Empire, they desired to have many, many soldiers. And of course, they didn't want so many of their British youth to be killed. So they decided that the majority of their army should be the youth of India. And how did they practically force the young men of India to join the army? They created an artificial depression in the country. Srila Prabhupada explains that they would pay farmers not to grow anything. And whatever was grown, they would force them to raise the prices, so hardly anyone can afford it. And how did they force them to raise the prices? Because they would just print as much paper money as they wanted. So they had unlimited money, paper. And they would go to the farmers, and they would go to the shops and the markets, and they would offer huge sums of money for food. So literally everybody, they want money. So they were selling their food for the best price. So the British government bought practically all the food in India. And the people, unless they were farmers themselves, they were practically starving. And then the British government said, "Ha, but if you join the army, we'll pay you real good. And with that pay, you can maintain your families as well." So in this way, hundreds and thousands of people were joining the army so that they can be exploited for political purposes. So this is going on in the name of politics throughout history. Exploitation of the innocent and simple masses simply for power and prestige and acquisition. And it is for this reason that the Lord appears in his various incarnations in this material world. Paritra naya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradhaya sambhavami juge juge. In order to protect the devotees, to annihilate the demoniac, and to reestablish the principles of religion, the Lord appears again and again in this material world. In this age of Kali, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, the Lord has incarnated within his name. And we can gain the same protection from chanting his name as Prahlad gained by the presence of Lord Narasingadev. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. It is said that the Lord is none different than his name. All of his powers and potencies are present in his name. There is absolutely no difference between the Lord's form and his name. In Kali Yuga, it is his incarnation. And therefore, devotees, by properly practicing the process of chanting the holy names, will undoubtedly find the same protection, the same shelter in Krishna's name as in any of his great incarnations who have come to protect his devotees. It is explained here that of the various incarnations of the Lord and the various expansions of those expansions, Krishna is the original source of all. Srila Prabhupada has explained here in the purport the various types of expansions of the Lord. The Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakasha, Tad Ekatma, Prabhava, Vaibhava, Vilas, Avatar, Avesh, and the Jivas. And they are all provided with innumerable energies just suitable to their particular personalities. It is explained that in the process of creation of the material worlds, how the Lord Sri Krishna, the source of all incarnations, performs this work. It is explained in Brahma Samhita that Krishna is like the original candle from whom all other candles are lit and existing. Krishna first expands himself in the spiritual world of Goloka as Balaram. Today is the appearance day of Lord Balaramji. We will be discussing Balaram Tattva and Guru Tattva this afternoon at our festival. But Balaram is absolutely non-different than Krishna. He possesses the same supreme opulences as Krishna. And he also is present in the divine Leela of Vrindavan along with Krishna. But still, Krishna is the origin of Balaram. As the original expansion of the Lord, Balaram is the original servant of the Lord. And therefore, he is considered to be the original guru, the origin of the Guru Tattva. It is this Balaram that expands himself into the quadruple expansion of Vasudev, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, and Prajumana, who reside in the four directions on each side of Goloka Vrindavan. That quadruple expansion then incarnates, specifically Shankarshan, as Lord Narayan, who is the Lord of the Vaikuntha planets. Lord Narayan is expanded through innumerable Vaikuntha planets. And in each one, he possesses particular attributes, particular opulences, particular eternal transcendental characteristics of his personality in order to perform Leela with the particular devotees of the particular temperaments who have attained love for that form of the Lord. Narayan then expands himself into the secondary quadruple expansion. And then that Shankarshan expands himself when it is time for the creation of material existence as the Purusha avatars. First he becomes Karanodakshayi Vishnu or Mahavishnu, who lays within the causal ocean and who expands through his mere exhalation innumerable universes. That Karanodakshayi Vishnu expands himself then as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu to be the supreme lord of each particular universe within creation. From him, Lord Brahma is born from the lotus flower sprouting from his navel. And then that Garbhodakshayi Vishnu expands himself as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. And Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, he resides through his expansion in the heart of every living entity. He also expands himself in and between every atom. And besides that, within every universe, near what we call the pole star or Dhruva Loka, he expands himself within a replica of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, within the material existence. And it is called Svetadvip. There he is laying on an ocean of milk with Lord Shankarshan Balaram, who has expanded himself again as a serpent in whom he is making himself like a very nice sitting place for the Lord to be comfortable. And we read in the scriptures how whenever there is a need for relief amongst the demigods and the devotees from the asura class of men, at that time the demigods, they approach Indra and later Brahma, and they all often go to the shore of the ocean of milk, and they offer prayers, specifically the Purusha Shukta prayers, appealing to the Lord to descend into the world to protect them and to reestablish the principles of religion. And all the various incarnations are incarnations of that Chirodakshayi Vishnu. Primarily, there is various categories of incarnations. Chirodakshayi Vishnu is of the Purusha avatar category. And then there is the Guna avatars. Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva. They take the role of being the lords of the three particular modes of material nature. Lord Shiva is in control of Tamoguna, the mode of ignorance. Lord Vishnu of Sattvaguna, the mode of goodness. And Lord Brahma of Rajaguna, the mode of passion. They are called the Gunavatars. And then there is the Manvanta avatars, where the Lord appears as Swayambhuva Manu, Vaivashvata Manu, and various other Manus. I believe there are 18 Manus. Huh? 14 Brahma, 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. And these Manus, they preside as the authority and the rulers, the kings of mankind at the particular time. And then there is the Leela avatars. The Leela avatars, they come to this world to perform various pastimes, such as Matsya avatar, Kurma avatar, Varaha avatar, Parasuram avatar, Vamana avatar, Ram avatar, Balaram avatar, Buddha avatar, Kalki avatar. And there is also Shaktivesha avatars, where the Lord empowers particular jivatmas with his own opulences, such as Vedavyas, Narada, and oftentimes many great spiritual masters. They are especially empowered for particular purposes. And each of these avatars they perform their particular services. Because after all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the source of all avatars, he himself takes the position of the servant of his own devotees. And therefore, throughout this entire existence, material and spiritual, all we find is service. The Lord comes to this world to serve humanity, to serve all living beings. And in the spiritual world, the Lord is always serving his devotees, and the devotees are always serving the Lord. So it is the eternal nature of all living beings to be engaged in this type of transcendental loving service. And it is explained here by Srila Prabhupada that these various expansions and these various avatars, they come for very specific purposes, and they reveal the particular opulences of the Lord according to the specific purpose in which they come. And therefore, each of these avatars, who are the Leela avatars, for example, they are expansions of Kshirodakshai Vishnu. So therefore, they can have or exhibit up to 93% of the transcendental features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna, he is exclusively being referred to here as Swayam Bhagavan, because he is the Purna Avatar. He possesses all opulences in full. And there is no other incarnation who we can claim to be the Purna Avatar. The intimacy of the love that Krishna reveals with his devotees is unparalleled. And it is for this reason that the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the essence, the cream of all Vedic literatures. Because in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, the most wonderful and detailed description of Krishna's supreme unlimited opulences is described. We find when Lord Krishna, although he was appearing like a small cowherd boy, even Indra and Brahma and Shiva and even Lord Mahavishnu, they all surrender to his lotus feet. They all consider themselves subordinate to him. Lord Shiva, in the battle between Banasura and the Lord, he was completely defeated by Lord Krishna. And upon being defeated by him, he was very happy. And similarly, Lord Brahma, after stealing the cowherd boys and the calves for 1 year, when Krishna revealed his supreme opulence, he was very satisfied to understand the supreme position of Krishna and surrender to him. See, Brahma was bewildered because first Brahma sees Krishna killing the great serpent, Aghasura, who was feared by all the demigods in the heavens. And yet he was just a little cowherd boy. So Brahma was thinking that he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one else could kill such a demon like Aghasura. But then, after killing Aghasura, Krishna was having lunch with his friends near the banks of the Jamuna in the cowherd pastures. And Krishna was taking the remnants of his cowherd boys' prasad. And this bewildered Brahma. This is impossible. First he kills Aghasura. He must be the Supreme Godhead. And now He's taking the remnants from these little cowherd boys. Maybe he's not the supreme person. This is not the activities of the supreme absolute truth. So he wanted to test who is this Krishna. Brahma, because of his position in Aishwarya, he's in a position of having so much power and control and opulence and wealth and such incredible amount of progeny that he wasn't able to understand the intimacies of Brajalila. How the Lord, who's of his devotees. In Brahmaloka, Brahma's the king, but he's just not a friend of his devotees. He's sitting on his throne and everyone follows what he says. And Narayan, he's sitting on his throne in Vaikuntha and everyone does his will. So Brahma sees, he's sitting with friends and he's eating with them and he's taking the remnants. This is not God. I have to find out who this person is. Then he realized that the highest realm of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna becomes subordinate to his friends. What to speak of his mother? What to speak of his girlfriends? This is Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. And similarly, Indra, the king of heaven. Indra knows Narayan. He's a personal associate, servant of Narayan. All the demigods know Narayan. They are all serving his servants, one way or other, by performing their responsibilities. But Krishna, we don't find Narayan telling people to go against religious principles. And it's a religious principle to do Indra Puja. But Krishna was telling Nanda Maharaj and the Brijavasis, do not do Indra Puja. Worship the cows instead. And worship Govardhan Hill, because Govardhan Hill is giving grass to the cows. This is better. Just a seven-year-old child, so talkative. Indra was thinking, what is this nonsense? He could not recognize his Lord. He did not have that pure vision to understand the Leela of Braja. And he sent the torrents of rain. But Krishna, his Girivaradhari, lifted the Govardhan Hill. And Indra himself came and surrendered at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, praising his glories and feeling himself most fortunate to have received such chastisement from the Lord. And there is also in the 10th canto we read of Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu, whose body is so big. The word big is not adequate. It's undescribable, it's unthinkable, it's not imaginable. His body is so we cannot even fathom one universe. We cannot even understand one, the greatest scientists with all of their developed technology, they have hardly even begun to find the beginning of their discoveries of what's within this little Earth planet. What's under the ground? What's in the sky? What's in the sea? There are so many mysteries. And this Earth planet is just one tiny, tiny little particle within the universe. And this one little universe is like a mustard seed in a bag of billions and trillions and quadrillions of mustard seeds in the form of other universes. How big this universe is, no one can calculate with our sense perception or our minds. But yet those universes are coming out of a pore of the body of Mahavishnu. We cannot try to calculate the dimension of his divine form. And as far as time, the whole duration of all the universes within creation exist when he simply exhales. And everything is annihilated when he inhales. He's in the Yoga Nidra, Mahavishnu, which is a mystical divine sleep. He's just resting. And yet, while he's in his divine dreamlight sleep state, everything within creation is created by him. He is the origin of the entire material creation. And he's not working. If you want to create something, you have to work. If you want to create a child, you have to work and get exhausted. If you want to create a factory, Nathji could tell you how you have to work, foaming at mouth. Nothing comes easy. Creation in this world. You see, a building is created, so many people working, so much money you have to work for, so many machines working. Wherever we find creation, wherever we as human beings or any other species of life create, there has to be action and work. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu, he created everything and everyone within all of the cosmic manifestation while he's sleeping. Hariho! Just resting nicely. Exhales, everything's created. Inhales, everything's destroyed. Effortless. And yet, foolish human beings dare to declare themselves to be God. And yet Mahavishnu is only a plenary portion of a portion of a portion of a portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this same Mahavishnu was so attracted to Krishna's lila that he wanted to have personal darshan with Krishna. He wanted to talk with Krishna. But obviously Mahavishnu cannot come into India or Dwarka because he has his position. Through his expansions, he does. Through expansion of expansion, he's within every atom. But that Mahavishnu personally in that form wanted to speak with Krishna. He wanted to worship and glorify Krishna and show the whole world that Krishna is infinitely superior to him. And therefore, Mahavishnu intervened within this world by stealing the baby children of a Brahmin. Huh? A Brahmin gave birth to a child, and Mahavishnu stole the child, but he didn't tell anyone. The Lord has such mystic potencies. He's so big and so obviously existing, yet he could steal without being seen. Mahato Mahiyan Anato Aniyan. And in those days, when kings were kings, they were such devoted servants of God, and they propagated such proper sacrifice amongst the citizens, that untimely things simply did not occur in a kingdom. The king took responsibility for anything at any detail that went wrong in the kingdom. Can you imagine the political leaders today? They have one fifth of the karma of all the citizens, sixth of the karma of all the citizens upon them. That's why he's standing up to make sure of it. Shri Kardamaji ki jai. There you are. One sixth of all the karma. And if they knew that, no one would be running for office. They'd be running away from office. So King Ugrasena was such a king. And this Brahmin, his son died before him, and that's not natural. The father's supposed to die before the son. So he told King Ugrasena that you are a rascal king. And Ugrasena couldn't believe that this could happen in his kingdom. It was a mystery to him. And Arjuna, he was such a faithful servant that he made a vow that I'm going to find that son, or I'm going to walk into fire. So he started traveling. Krishna was his charioteer. And they started traveling throughout all the different planets of the universe. They went to Yamaraj's abode and the various other abodes. And ultimately, Krishna brought him through all of the various layers covering the universe and entered into the causal ocean. And there they were face to face with Mahavishnu. And he said, Jai Shri Krishna, I have the sons. I took them because I wanted to have your darshan, and I wanted to worship your lotus feet. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Purnavatar, who is superior, supreme over all other forms of God. Even Lakshmi Devi. In Brajbhumi, there is that wonderful place called Bailvan. And there, Srimati Lakshmi Devi, she performed tapasya. In fact, she left the abode of Vaikuntha. She left Lord Narayan and performed tapasya, because she wanted entrance into the Leela of Sri Krishna on the banks of the Jamuna. But because she was attached to being the goddess of fortune, she was not given entrance into Vrindavan. She was given the concession where she was, she could see the Ras Leela. But if she wanted to actually take part in the Ras Leela, she had to give up the conception that she was the goddess of fortune, Aishwarya. She had to become a gopi. She had to carry cow dung. She had to milk cows. She had to sweep floors and clean pots. The gopis do simple work. Lakshmi Devi, she's the queen of Vaikuntha. She doesn't do these things. And to be a gopi means to be a simple cowherd girl, willing to sacrifice everything, even one's own reputation, dignity, for the pleasure of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Brahma prays that in Chintamani Dham of Goloka, Krishna is surrounded by hundreds and thousands, millions of goddesses of fortunes in the form of gopis. Because they are actually in a more intimate position than the goddess of fortune. So it is for this reason that we worship Krishna. We will worship all of the manifestations of Krishna. But wherever we see the various incarnations, we always remember their connection to Krishna. Do not think that the various avatars are different than Krishna. They are all the same person, but they are revealing various, it is Krishna himself revealing his various opulences and various characteristics in each incarnation. But the sum total of all the incarnations with all the characteristics are within Krishna and more. Madhurya Ras. So here Sutta Goswami is explaining so wonderfully. The various incarnations. And it is actually very important that we understand the pastimes of these various incarnations, because when we ultimately come to the 10th canto, we can have a deep appreciation for who this Krishna is. In the first canto, we're reading about the Purushavatars and the supreme power and glory that they possess. And we also read throughout the 9 cantos of Bhagavatam the wonderful stories of the various incarnations of the Lord as they appear throughout history, and the wonderful works that they do. And when we come to the 10th canto, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is appearing like an ordinary child, we should know that he is the source and the summum bonum of all of these other incarnations. They are all various subordinate factors of his Supreme Personality. This is Krishna. And when Krishna appeared on this earth, he first expanded himself to incarnate in his original expansion of Lord Balaram, whose incarnation, whose appearance day is today. Lord Balaramji, he came according to the Lord's promise, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarataya sambhavami juge juge. He killed so many demons. He manifested so many wonderful loving pastimes along with Lord Sri Krishna to attract everyone's hearts and minds. But there is also a very wonderful story in 10th canto of Bhagavatam of Lord Balaram killing someone who wasn't really a demon. But he wanted to establish a very strong principle. You see, the battle of Kurukshetra was about to be fought. All the final arrangements for the battle were being worked out between the Kurus and the Pandavas. And it was decided that Balaram and Krishna, neither one could be on either side. Because whoever side they would be on, the other would not have a chance. So Krishna said, I will not fight, I will only drive chariot. And he gave choice of both armies, do you want me or do you want my armies? Duryodhana said, give me your armies if you're not fighting. So he took the position of Partha Sarathi, the chariot driver of Arjuna. Meanwhile, Balaram, he did not want to be a mediator in this fight because he was very favorable toward Duryodhana because he was such a nice student of his. But he was also very, very favorable toward the Pandavas. So he simply did not want in any way, shape, or form to be involved. He didn't even want to be anywhere near this battle. So he decided to go on pilgrimage to holy places. So he began to travel. And Lord Balaramji came to the place called Naimasharanya, which is a very, very holy place. And there was an assembly of great saints and sages and learned Brahmins who were performing a sacrifice for the welfare of all humanity. And when Balaramji came into the assembly, all of the people assembled. They all stood up. The great sages and Brahmins, they stood up according to their position to either offer obeisances to Balaramji or to offer their blessings to Balaramji, knowing him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Balaram happened to see that there was one person. His name was Romaharshan Sutta. And he did not stand up. Amongst all the saints and rishis, he was given the most exalted position. All of those Brahmins elected him to be their leader and to sit on the Vyasasan. Why? Because he was very, very learned in the scripture. And he was directly the disciple of Srila Vedavyasa, the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam explains how Balaram was thinking that this person sitting on Vyasasan, generally sitting on Vyasasan, it is not required that you stand to offer your respects to another. But Balaram is the Supreme Lord. And everyone is the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. Everyone must humble themselves before the Supreme Lord. Romaharshan Sutta was born of mixed caste. Prabhupada explains there's something called anuloma and pratiloma. Anuloma is when a man of an upper class marries a woman of a lower class. And pratiloma is where a woman of an upper class marries a man of an upper class. Romaharshan Sutta's mother was a Brahmin and his father was a Kshatriya. And generally, one who's in a transcendental position, it is an offense to consider a person according to caste. Arache Vishnu Shiladira Kurushu Naramatira Vaishnavi Jati Bhuti. To calculate a Vaishnava according to caste or creed or birth is hellish mentality. It is an offense. But because he was not acting like a Brahmin, therefore, he was subjected to be calculated by his birth because of his misbehavior. A person of any caste, of any race, is given a chance to become a Brahmin or a Vaishnav. If he takes that chance, we cannot calculate his past or even consider it. But if that person is not living by those standards, if that person is offensive, then Balaram felt it was suitable to calculate him accordingly. Balaram became very angry. And he chastised Romaharshan. Because of your high learning, and because of the opulences and the prestige you have acquired, you have lost all your sense of humility. And you cannot even respect the Supreme Lord when he comes before you. It is explained that even if a person thoroughly learns all the Vedas, the Puranas, and the other Shastras, if he is not meek and humble, then all of his learning and all of his other characteristics are only an external dress, like the costume that an actor wears on stage. And the real quality of a Vaishnava, the real quality of a Brahmin, is that he must be gentle. So Lord Balaram was thinking that he is offensive. He's taking the position of sitting on a Vyasasan, and he doesn't have the internal qualifications. It cannot be it cannot be tolerated. And Srila Prabhupada explains what the position of a Vyasasan is. It's for one who is representing Vyas by one's words and one's qualities. And Balaram could not tolerate an unqualified person taking that position. So he picked up a blade of grass, Kusha grass. And with that blade of grass, he touched Romaharshan. And Romaharshan died. Sri Balaramji ki.
Die.
And when Romaharshan died, all the Brahmins and sages were very much disturbed. They began to cry, "Alas, alas, what have you done? This is not proper." Although you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and although you are the independent controller of all the universes, and you are free to do anything you like, still you are in a position of a great leader of society, and it's not appropriate what you have done. And we'll tell you why. Because you're supposed to protect Brahmins. And protecting Brahmins means protecting their word. And when we all elected Romaharshan Sutta to be our leader and sit on that Vyasasan, we gave him the benediction of a long, 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 healthy life. And you just killed him. So we think you should, just for the sake of leading people in general on the right path, you should atone for your offense. Although really it's not an offense, because you can do anything you like. But just to set a proper example, you should atone. When someone does something that is not right, he must atone. They actually said these things with great humility and devotion to Balaram, in a mood of service. So Lord Balaramji says, yes, what you are saying is true. I will atone. If you like, I will bring Roma Harshan Sutta back to life. And I'll bestow upon him the fulfillment of all of his desires. I'll give him everything and anything you like. But the Brahmin said, no, no, no. You are Bhagavan, and you have already killed him. And how can we question what you have done? It is right. So please, do not bring him back to life. But at the same time, although you cannot bring him back to life, because that would be an offense on our part to ask that, at the same time, you have to protect our word, which was that he have a long, long life full of health. So Balaram has supreme intelligence. Prabhupada says this is a very ambiguous request. Don't bring him back to life, but at the same time, give him a long life full of health. That was their proposal. So Balaram said yes. His son, Ugrashrava Sutta, I will give him all these benedictions. Because it is said in the Shastra that the son is the representative of the father. And if we put his son on the Vyasa-san, and we give him all of these benedictions of a long and healthy life, not disturbed by any of the pangs of material existence, then we will fulfill Roma Harshan Sutta's benedictions. And all of the great Brahmins and saints, they were very happy, and they said, yes, this is perfect. And Sutta Goswami, who later on became the narrator of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, he happened to be present when Shukadev Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit. He was installed by the great devotees. Meanwhile, Balaram was thinking, still, yad yad acharati sreshtas tad tad evita rojana sa yat pramanam kurute lokasthana nuvaratate. What great men do, common men must follow in their footsteps. So I have killed a Brahmin sitting on a Vyasa-san. Not exactly a Brahmin, but still he was in an exalted position. And I have gone against your wishes, so you must give me some atonement. Balaram was begging for atonement for his activities. So the sages said, there is one thing you can do. You can save us. Because there's a terrible demon that every fortnight he attacks when we're just about to perform sacrifices. His name is Balvala, and he is the son of Ilvala. And he comes, and he contaminates our sacrifices in so many terrible ways and ruins everything. So please, deliver us from his demoniac influences. So Balaram said, yes, I will do. See how the Lord is so happy to serve his devotees. So Balaram waited. And the sages were about to perform their yajna. And at that time, dark clouds came into the sky. And there were terrible winds and rains and hails. Balvala was controlling all of this. And then he was throwing blood and bones and urine and stool on everybody and on everything. Can you imagine? Sometimes you go out and it starts raining on you during these monsoons and you don't have an umbrella and you're getting wet and you think, oh, how terrible. But it's only water. These poor sages, stool and urine, blood, bones, everything raining all over them, foul smelling. And then Balvala himself personally appeared. He was such a terrible demon. His body was the size of a great mountain. And it was the color of black carbon. And he had a reddish beard and mustache. And his mouth was very, very sharp teeth that looked like the entrance to hell. He started roaring. And when Balaramji saw him, he called for his plow, Sunanda. And his plow appeared. And he took the plow and he caught Balvala with the plow and he dragged him down. And then with his club, he smashed Balvala. And Balvala's head cracked. And blood started to flow. And he fell to the ground. And he was dead. And all the great saints and sages began to celebrate. And all the demigods also began to celebrate that Sri Balaramji has rescued the devotees once again. At that time, the sages told Balaram, now, for the next 12 months, you can go to the various holy places of pilgrimage. And just by visiting these holy places, you will atone for whatever. Whatever has been done. But they were so happy and grateful to Lord Balaram, who they recognize as their supreme Lord and Master, that they had a wonderful ceremony and they performed Abhishek for him. And after performing a wonderful Abhishek, chanting all Vedic mantras, they offered him fresh new clothes and a beautiful garland that would never diminish in its fragrance and luster. And in this way, they all worshiped Lord Balaram as a supreme personality of Godhead. Today at 12:30, we will also have this wonderful opportunity of worshiping Lord Balaram, the supreme personality of Godhead. So everyone, please come for the festival this afternoon. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Balaramji ki.